you know, other parts of the world, because I think this movement is really necessary all over the world. So, yeah, I just want to say that, you know, great job and keep going.
And, you know, I don't think we've even, we have barely touched the surface here of everything that's happening worldwide. I mean, we've just sort of talked very locally, right? But we should have you guys come back and talk with us again, and we'll sort of discuss maybe the more international stuff. I know there's things happening in Brazil and in Argentina. Those are the countries I'm more familiar with.
El Salvador.
Nicaragua doing some amazing things in Guatemala also. So we could, you know, we could do a whole international show.
And it's funny that you mentioned that, because we had some visitors over at BCIL from Europe who were looking to start independent living centers in Norway and another European country, who came by trying to get, how did you get going? How did you start? How can we do something like this, similar to this, in our country? So I hope today, being the 4th of July, United States, everyone is celebrating another year of independence in what I think is the greatest country in the world, irregardless of what others may think. The disability fight goes on, and it has to go on, and it's too bad that, unfortunately, we have to use that word fight for our rights, but if that's what it takes, I think the community is beginning to come together and realize that what we are asking for, what is being asked, is just the right that we have as human beings, as people, as Americans, to enjoy our life to the fullest. And that means just make the roads, pave the roads, sidewalks, just let us get where we need to get. And we will show you that we're not asking or begging, that we just want to be given the opportunity to fail if we have to.
Thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
That was, we should say, you know, who you were one more time. We had Arnold Berry from the Boston Center for Independent Living. Y Arnold, hemos hablado solo un poquitito en español, pero quizás la próxima vez ahí podemos hablar más, ¿verdad?
Entonces sí. suena bien, gracias.
No, gracias a usted. Y también hemos tenido aquí a Michael Mui, el director ejecutivo de la Comisión de Cambridge para la gente con discapacidades. This is the Cambridge Commission for Persons with Disabilities. I always get tripped up on the persons part there, because that just kills me every time. But okay. Anyway, Mr. Mui, thank you as well.
Thank you for having
us. My pleasure. Thanks for having us.
It is now 7 o'clock. You're listening to WMBR Cambridge, and we have one special message for you from the fabulous people who run this station, and then we're going to hand this all over to the Music for Human Beings. And boy, do they have a treat for you. So we will catch you next Friday from 6 to 7. Como siempre, estamos en la internet, www.wmbr.org. So you can catch us online at wmbr.org. Thanks so much, folks.
Views and opinions presented on this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or MIT.
Okay, Music for Human Beings here. We got a bit of a full house tonight. And we did have a couple calls earlier. But if that was you, go ahead and call back in. We're ready to take phone calls. Yeah, I'm just going to cue up a little bit of Serotonin Ashram tonight. Special night tonight, our shows in a synchronicity with the 4th of July. How natural, it's a perfect day, bright sunny day with all the potential in the air to just talk about freedom, what it means in this country, what it could mean beyond. Freedom is normally attributed to America, sort of part of the American culture. What about freedom in other cultures? What does freedom even mean? The ability to do anything? We got a big full house tonight, and we're just going to be switching rapid fire. We're going to do a big forum. So if you're here and you want to make a phone call, if you want to join our circle, that number is 617-253-8810. Go ahead and give us a call up. But let's go ahead and dive in here. Namaste. And our first guest.
Hi. My name is Poe. And
Poe.
I'm a New Age Kung Fu historian.
Right.
I can go a bit more into that if you want. I don't know how you want to do this.
No, absolutely, yeah. Well, I don't know too much about Kung Fu, just that it started coinciding with New Age in about 1980.
Yeah,
Bruce Lee, I know, he started growing his hair out long.
Yeah.
And people kind of followed suit. And is that an American influence? I mean, when he started...
I think it was an American influence. If you look at China, not too many people were growing out their hair that long.
Right.
So
you had kind of a Confucius bowl cut a little bit.
Yeah, he was also really, really skinny though, which was probably Chinese. That was very Chinese though.
Uh-huh.
So he didn't go completely American, even though he was in some big name Hollywood movies.
Not a lot of food to eat.
That's right. I can get more into that. So today's topic is about freedom, right?
Yeah, and just that physical freedom you have, and when you combine it with New Age, when you combine it with mental, I'm thinking of just sort of real ability to seize the day, you know, laws aside.
Yeah.
You just like that feeling that you can do anything.
That's right. And I think a lot of New Age is about, you know, in the 80s, a lot of things came together. From different influences, different cultures, and I think people picked up Kung Fu more in the West too because of influences from all around during that time. That Kung Fu can give a lot of freedom to people around the world, I think.
Yeah, it sort of giveth and taketh away.
That's right. And also, there's an aspect of Kung Fu that sometimes gets neglected. It's really flashy and kind of cool, but at its base, it's about self-defense, and it's about strength. And strength is freedom. I think that's part of it, too. The confidence, the strength that comes with Kung Fu.
It's just so interesting that comes from fighting, you know. An ability to break your opponent
in
20 places. That's why it's just such an interesting alliance, you know.
Well, I mean, these things go... It goes hand in hand. First of all, yeah, it's true that you have an opponent, but it's and you know, you're fighting the opponent, but you're also basically liberating yourself by doing that, and so I think that's how freedom ties in with kung fu.
Well, and you have that exact same thing going on, you know, mentally inside with yoga, you know, trying to kind of overcome discomfort, right? Kind of just fight that battle.
Yeah, that's
we do have a yogi here with us today. Maybe we could actually, let's bring another caller into the loop first. Okay, and do we have a caller here on the airwaves?
Freedom does not. Freedom doesn't exist. Freedom doesn't exist.
It might not exist in this country. Well, do we have Peace Child Peter coming through the tubes?
Yeah, man, I'm here.
Okay, Dr. Dallas.
Marhaban ya bin.
Hibiscus.
Hey, Arthur.
Okay, so caller, we got a lot of friendly faces here. We got a safe haven tonight. Let's hear about it.
I gotta say, this is one heck of a circle, man. This approximation, what we got going right here.
Yeah, 7 in the circle tonight.
Yeah. It's almost a holy number, a spiritual number. I was just thinking about that.
Okay, yeah. Well, that call is nice and cathartic. Let's jump into the yoga here a little bit.
You mean the yoga of this moment?
Yeah. We have a yogi here in the studio.
Greetings. I hail from California. My name is Solaris.
And, that must be Northern California.
Yes.
Yeah. You have a lot of those.
That's the best California, man.
Of course.
So what kind of yoga do you do?
Well, the yoga I mostly concentrate on comes from the southern region of India, and it has very definite movements. So there is some freedom in what you're doing, but it all has a form that you need to follow.
It's a freedom enabled by structure.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just such an interesting concept, freedom, because, you know, people keep saying this America, this is a free country. Well, look at all the things you really can't do in America. There sure are more of them than things you can do, I think it's safe to say. You know, you can't just drive your car into Sears.
You can't fly a plane into Sears either.
Yeah. Amen. Okay, but freedom from structure. So I think we're onto something, because, you know, the American legal system is also very structured and, you know, kind of ornate, flowery, and kind of like someone in a wood shop just went a little crazy.
What about just the freedom from our bodies sometimes? I believe it was Socrates who believed that the human body is the cage of the human soul, the human spirit, that which the Greeks believed and housed the consciousness of human beings. And actually, 2 days ago, the good doctor introduced me to this form of meditation that attempts to free one from his body. And the doctor actually told me a little about an experience which he had where he almost seemed to leave his own body and enter the body of another individual and live life through his eyes, though having no control, being able to perceive what that other person perceives.
Yeah, maybe that's a good working definition of freedom for tonight. You know, it's taken us about 20 minutes, a little bit of that was dead air, to kind of, you know, we all have this sense inside of what freedom is, but it's hard to put words around it, to just, you know, wrap words around it and abstract it so you can use it. But maybe that's a good working definition. Freedom is just getting that soul outside the physical body.
Well, brother Bean, the desire of all, surface wanderer is to be independent of other people. You know, this is maybe our beginning search of freedom. But this concept of, being independent, like, neighbor George, he do something, I want to be independent of what he do. This is a failed definition because the right hemisphere of the brain is connected in a network with all people in all of the universe. So if I were to reside upon an island with coconuts and sandy beach, there is no way that I can, avoid finding in meditation in these moments that I have connected with someone else. I cannot be fully independent from them. So these experiences where you are deep in meditation alone, you find yourself connecting with another person, perhaps at another time that you possess them, even though you do not share their knowledge, you are unable to become distinct from them. So perhaps the freedom is really being free from harm. So, my neighbor does not throw his coconuts in my island.
Looks like we have a caller who's going to follow up with that a little bit. Let's just go ahead and take a listen. Caller, are you with us? You're on the program.
Independence. To speak is to lie. To live is to collaborate. Anybody is a coward when it's by.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like freedom should include freedom from fear of dependence, right?
Yeah.
So
freedom from being eaten by a sandwich.
Yeah.
Image one.
Freedom from, people are trying to run away, gain independence, but it should incorporate
Inspector Jay Lee. Very simple.
Being dependent.
Paralysis. Laugh. Electric. Fear death. The black smoke. Bradley. Towers. Pick. Hearing. Bleeding. On the. Calm. Lying. The technical notes.
Color. It sounds like your philosophy is more along the free jazz of Ornette Coleman. You have exited the structure.
Limited warranty. U.S. only. Important. Handmade.
Day it's like you're taking all of Western culture and just exploding it outwards, Limited time warranties.
Can't buy anything to eat.
It's about free association, right? The freedom to take anything around us and associate it together. I also wanted to address the doctor, the good doctor's point about the coconuts, because it is about freedom from harm is an important point. And that's where I think my studies in Kung Fu history have led me. It's about how when people know Kung Fu, they're more free from harm and from coconuts, too.
It would be as if you had a giant cricket bat and were able to repel the coconuts were they thrown at you.
Except you don't even depend on the coconut bat. That's...
Right.
That's the amazing part.
And,
just those rock-hard abs. Just the sharpening of the body frees the mind.
That's absolutely true.
Well, maybe this is our society's freedom. Our society, its goal to free itself lies within rock-hard abdominal muscles. So, but previous generations and civilizations have attempted to achieve this freedom in various ways. And these are things that I have encountered in my, trans-dimensional meditative experiences where, for example, I found to my surprise that I was possessing the high priest at the moment of the midsummer sacrifice. about to practice a secret ritual that I had controlled his body, but without his knowledge.
Dr. Jollis, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we have a caller who's been waiting patiently here. Caller, can you hear us? You're on the air.
Nobody is safe. Rock hard abs will get you nowhere. You're not allowed to be in a male. You're not allowed to be.
Yeah.
It's really great to have you back, Robert.
You're not allowed. You know, they often call us the land of the free, but what land isn't free?
The I don't know.
Well, the caller, I think, speaks to the fragility of the human experience, that this, you know, no matter the extent of the hardness of any of your muscles, you are vulnerable.
You know, we often think of people in prisons as just lacking freedom, but there's multiple directions that they can pursue inside.
I'm a big, tough ghost.
Robert, stay with us. We're going to put another caller on the air. That's 9 nodal points approximating the circle tonight. Okay, do we have another caller coming through?
Hello.
Yeah, welcome.
Hi.
Great to have you on the program.
Thank you. I'm very interested to hear your points of view on freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a question.
Absolutely.
So, I'm not entirely sure that freedom is so easy to define. I mean...
No, it's not. We've been struggling.
Imagine what the doctor said earlier about being alone on an island with coconuts. And you are not free because of the people around you. But if you were on an island with coconuts and no one in the world was around you, wouldn't that be the opposite of freedom?
Yeah, it seems like if you're surrounded on a coconut island, whether you can shield your head, you know, from the coconuts or not is beside the point. You're pretty isolated.
But
why would you want to shield yourself from the coconut?
No, my argument is that...
Maybe you don't, yeah.
Despite the...
Ultimate freedom is harmony with your surroundings, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe it doesn't matter where you are, even if you're just on some rock in the middle of the ocean.
The rocks, they have such interesting things to say sometimes.
Can you tell us a little bit about what they've said?
Well, my experience, even on islands surrounded in coconut groves, that in a moment of deep meditation, we cannot be independent. When we realize that this moment occurs, that part of our brain is speaking and acknowledging the pulse of the human collective. As long as other people are on the planet, we are unable to be free in this way.
I want to point out, I sympathize with the caller a little bit. It's not just about blocking the coconuts. In my studies, I've encountered a coconut palm technique. It is a series of palm techniques. I'm talking about palm as in the palm of your hand. It's a fighting style.
Yeah, it's not just about slapping your leg into a coconut, you know, paring it.
No, it's not about that. And to really understand the coconut and how the coconut hits other things, the
dynamics of it,
the dynamics of the coconut, how it moves, the moment of inertia of the coconut, all of these are important parts of the coconut palm technique.
Well, and in ancient cultures, the coconut symbolized the unit of connection between one person and another. It was the symbol for that interaction.
Yeah, and that's just so interesting, because the coconut has the two holes, you know, for two straws.
Of course, and hence the universal symbolism in all human cultures of the coconut way.
It's nature's malt milkshake.
Precisely. Or the bowl of spaghetti.
But going back to freedom, I mean, the two holes in the coconut, don't they express freedom? You have the freedom to choose which hole to put your straw into, yeah, and which sense to absorb the coconut.
It's a binary choice, though. You know, with power tools, you could go through any direction.
You're not allowed to be a male. You're not allowed to be a male. You're not a... No getting coconuts. No getting coconuts pregnant. No coconut pregnant. Pregnant coconuts. I don't know. What was I thinking about? I was too old. Oh, sorry. No coconuts. I don't want to hear what you have to say. No, coconuts are good. I love coconuts. They're so sweet. Ugh.
I don't think anybody is saying that coconuts are bad, per se.
Right.
We're not
coconut
haters in any sense.
I think the coconut is an embodiment of ourselves, aren't they?
Or are we an embodiment of the coconut?
You've got the liquid in the inside, the milk, which is an expression of our inner frailties, and the meat, which is sort of a cushion, but it's also nourishing, and then the shell, which tries to keep everything out. But maybe it's better when you put a straw through it.
And you drink that inner frailty and just suck it down.
Hey,
Robert, we're gonna have to phase you out because we have another caller patiently waiting. And caller two, just stay online with us here.
Thank you.
Yeah, do we have a new caller with us? Do we have a new caller there? You're on the air. Okay, well, maybe the caller just went off for a little break and we'll come back.
Another sense of freedom, being able to call in and leave at one's will.
Yeah, just leave the phone open, you know?
They may have been driven to have a sweet and luscious coconut drink. And it was their free choice that led them to that decision.
How bad get punched out? Boo! That's all.
Okay, looks like we have that caller coming in.
Three. Boo! Three. Three. Three.
Whip. Whippering whip. Whippering whip.
Are you there?
Hello.
Yeah, and you're listening to WMBR in Cambridge. That's 88.1 FM.
What does it mean?
See, I'm thinking about which record to put on here.
How?
Yeah, I don't know.
What about other husked objects?
Hello?
Hi, new caller.
Hello?
New caller, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Welcome. Yeah, what about other husked objects? I don't know the answer to that.
It seems so limiting ourselves to coconuts is not necessarily the best thing to do.
Caller, you're not on hold. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah,
you're on the air, caller?
I think something's...
Hello?
It looks like we're in a loop here.
Hello?
Okay, let's try another call here. Okay, caller?
Hi, my name is Freedom. I thought it was a shaking ball that talked to me, but it's really a shaking ball that... It's really not a ball.
Your name's
really not a ball at all.
Your name's Freedom. Your father's Freedom.
My father's Freedom? My name's Faggot. But that's just because I'm stabbing. I'm stabbing out. Look out. Look out. Look out. Look out. I'm pushing. I'm pushing forward. Look out. Look out. Look out. You look.
What about the holes of pumpkins?
Well, I'm not sure about the pumpkin, but the orange symbolized jealousy in many ancient cultures, which is ironic considering how it is regarded as a delectable and sweet fruit in current society. But
not everybody has citrus, though.
But that's the original
perhaps,
human
perhaps
family.
Perhaps oranges indicate jealousy because we are jealous of those who have them.
Well, I believe that the orange in the wild is more sour and was not eaten, but was herbed at the, much like the coconut, but with not necessarily the intention of harm, but, you know, like not to injure, but to simply strike the, you know, those fellow people who had perhaps more or larger coconuts or, you know, banana fields or hence the concept of green things being jealous.
I think to reflect a little bit about the orange as a projectile, something you might hurl.
Right.
There's in my studies, there's some pros and cons of the size of the projectile and the weight of it. And so even while, you know, in my studies at least, the coconut is a harder object and the styles of fighting designed after the coconut are stronger in some sense.
Sort of a spherical, and yeah. If it falls out of a tree, it'll kill you.
Yeah, the orange is more nimble. It's more flexible. Mm-hmm. It's
agile.
Agile.
Color of a snake.
That's right. More mushy, too.
What with an acid that stings.
That's right. The inside, the acid, yeah.
I think stomach acid is orangey
tinge. In Rome or suburban America, whether he was a bandit, a computer, a commuter, a chariot driver, whether he was...
I believe the other caller mentioned an interest in the banana.
Hmm.
And we do have a new caller. Let's go ahead and try that. Yeah, caller, can you hear us? You're on the air.
I'd like to say thank you. Welcome. Is anybody from the back of the room? All right, that's great. Okay, you come here often?
Uh-huh. Tough crowd.
I'd like to thank the Bush administration, particularly Mr. Dick Cheney, who was here in Boston today, and the entire administration for putting the dumb back in American freedom.
American, okay.
But what is freedom?
Yes, he did.
Freedom is the ability to step outside of the norm.
But can you have too much freedom? If everyone steps outside the norm, then what is the norm?
Right? Don't you need a norm with which to define freedom against?
Yeah, freedom is not against a norm, though. I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive.
That's true.
Yeah, there's
that... We should be free to be norm.
There's that categorical imperative, though, just that only do something so long as everybody else doing it, it would still... go on to make sense.
I understood freedom only once in my life. While I was sitting in a jail cell somewhere in Boston for not breaking any law.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that only in this jail cell was I truly liberated to understand that it was those who believe that they're free who are truly entrapped. It was I who knew the truth who was free.
That's actually a really great segue, because we have someone here who also broke the law, who wasn't breaking the law. Bella was growing opium years ago.
Years. It wasn't actually opium. It was what I would consider health herbs, which were grown back in the old days, you know, when I was much younger and more capable of tending to these
more free
plants and things like that. But, it was a wonderful freeing experience.
And it's not, you know, it's not that opium that was addicting Great Britain once upon a time, right? This is you kind of mash into a paste and slap it on your arm.
Right, right.
A patch that just seeps through.
Yeah, there's many, many purposes. You know, some of them are medicinal. Some of them are, you know, for getting to a higher state that you wouldn't be able to. It helps you to achieve, I guess, certain new levels of freedom that you wouldn't be able to without the help of, you know, these types of things.
And bam, because of that drug connection, you're breaking the law without breaking the law.
Well, it depends. I mean, what is the law? You know, it's something that society sort of, you know, forces on you, but you can have your own laws. You're free to make your own laws.
Yeah. It's worth reminding people sometimes that the United States Constitution is written on hemp paper. You know?
Yes, indeed.
On this topic of drugs and freedom, I'd like to point out that although I may not be free to buy or sell a bag of marijuana, mm-hmm. the Kennedys have no problem making a family fortune selling bootleg whiskey. Mm-hmm. The Rockefellers had no problem making a fortune on opium. In fact, the patriarch of the Rockefeller family used to be a snake oil salesman who sold a
homeopathic medicine, I think.
He sold a product that had in its title cancer cure, and it did contain opium. And then one of his sons went on to found Standard Oil, and through dirty business and thoroughly illegal practices, take over the entire oil industry of the United States and launch an industry which now occupies your White House. Your White House. Your America.
Many household products contain, or at one point contain, things that are regarded as controlled substances. Coca-Cola, we all know, used to contain cocaine. Pepsi contained marijuana.
Never had cocaine. Had coca leaf juice.
Coca leaf juice. And a Sprite had SPR, a chemical weapon.
Right, and there's so much yet to be discovered as well about what exactly is inside the White House and the food products.
And
that
why it's
we
so
don't
white.
Know yet exactly why we don't know why it's so white.
What's inside Dick Cheney's man-sized safe? I'd like to know the answer to that question.
We must crack it open like a coconut and see the white meat of the White House.
And it's just about 7:40, and do we lose caller two? Okay, so we have two channels open, and feel free to call in at any time. That number is 617-253-8810. And you're listening to Music for Human Beings, WNBR in Cambridge.
I kind of thought it was interesting what that last caller said, referring to it as our White House.
Your White House. Yeah.
Referring to us. I think this very tightly relates to the sense of freedom.
Right.
Whatever the definition is not the definition. Must it not incorporate choice in some way? After all, what is freedom if not to choose your own destiny? And if we here in this studio, if we seven nodal points approximating this circle choose to call it our White House, choose to believe it is ours, then it is. But if not, then regardless of what that caller just said, it is not.
Well, Peter, where does the tea come in? I mean, you know, maybe it's not the best working definition, but freedom, getting that mind, that very playful, kind of mischievous spirit outside of the structured, rule-abiding physical body. Where does your tea come in?
Tea is a part of life.
You know, is it as simple as herbal supplements or, antioxidant-rich, vitamin drinks? I don't know.
Despite the positive effects of the tea, I would not refer to it as a herbal remedy or supplement of any way. It merely is, and what it is good. It tastes good, it feels good, and it has many uses. To answer your question, where does it come into the sense of freedom? Well, it's your choice. Do you choose to drink this tea? Do you choose to scoff at this tea merely because it is red and you do not know what I put in it? Freedom relates to tea as it relates to anything. You choose to do it or you choose not to. You choose to think about it. You choose what to think about it. Sometimes you even choose when to think about it.
Willy Wonka.
Well, I had an experience in Antarctica with a shaman who provided me with a metal tea. And this metal tea, although he gave me the choice whether or not to drink it, it would benefit me without choice. You know, I was not free to refuse the benefit of the tea having, you know, sipped the tea. Many of the people who had had the tea in the village were compulsive and were rapidly executing very strange maneuvers in the snow.
Oh, is this the Jimbali tea?
I'm not sure of the scientific official name.
I think I've heard of this tea. I think it was referred to as the Jimbali metal tea of the north.
Well, it may have been of the north, but I had it in the south.
I've heard that some teas, and maybe this applies to the tea that you're talking about, have help you accelerate the process of training, especially the process of training in Kung Fu. So I don't know, have you, I know this is veering off a little bit from the subject, but since we've established how tea is so much about freedom, and also I hope Kung Fu is so much about freedom, do you know anything else about how tea has benefits outside of just helping your body, but maybe accelerating your learning and mental and spiritual growth too?
Oh, definitely. There are many teas in existence. My red tea, for example, does make you a bit more acute. And the blue tea that I spoke of many months ago that is not quite finished, I hope to have it aid in meditation as well as be an overall good inducer of good feelings and physical acuity.
Well, if you'd like to call in, that number is 617-253-8810, and we're just going to take another caller here.
Now, Lena, you know I never listen in on the party line, but I just happened to hear that old man Smith got his whiskers caught in the barn doors. Now, Lena, you know I never listen in on the party line, but I just happened to hear that old man Smith got his whiskers caught in the barn doors. Now, Lena, you know I never listen in on the party line.
Okay, somebody, answering machine caller again, has their computer plugged directly into the phone, and that's okay. It's a perfectly good way to communicate. You're expressive. You can all feel that.
We'd like
to remind our winner to call WOBG today to let us know where she'd like to pick up her delicious Dairy Queen frozen cake. At the Netherfort Dairy Queen, the Fairmont Dairy Queen, the Bridgeport Dairy Queen, or the Shinston Dairy Queen. Once again, we'd like to remind our winner, Barbara Don, to call...
Without that cross, Lord, you should have had to do without that new clown. Your mom wouldn't have...
It's slowly dedicating into a zoo.
Oh, I guess we wouldn't have a lot of things, Lord, if it weren't for you. And that new church in the valley, Lord, well, that's about the finest thing you could ever do.
Another question about freedom. Is it all or nothing? Like, is there a degree of free? Like, this one is more free? Like, we have a society where the participants, the members, can do anything aside from eating their food in alphabetical order?
Well, I think unless you want to... unless you've learned nothing from any of the conversations that we have had in this studio, life is so rarely black and white, it seems. So freedom being part of life, one could infer that.
But if you know, if you don't have something that's free, if you don't have some element of freedom, then can you say it's freedom at all? You know, if you're deprived of your hands, but you can have everything else, then, you know, there's still a condition. There's a string still attached to everything you get. Is that freedom at all?
Well, let's ask the caller. Caller, welcome to the program. Caller, are you on the air?
Yes, Walter Brennan here. As my old friend Janis Joplin used to say, freedom is just another word.
Okay, we seem to have lost that one. Okay.
This is a very sharp point. It's true. Freedom is simply a word unless we assign meaning to the word.
I think to maybe complete the sentence, it was freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose, right? Is that what he was referring to, maybe?
I'm not familiar with Joplinology.
Well, maybe only the caller will be able to enlighten us about what he actually meant.
But this also is an interesting concept. That is, you know, that you are free. You know, this ties back to this concept of harm.
Yeah.
That if you are unharmable somehow, that you are totally free.
That's true. And one aspect of harm, of course, is physical harm. And that's why I think everybody should focus more on learning Kung Fu. I think it's something that it's not taught in our schools anymore.
Yeah, and also this concept of having...
Certainly not.
...nothing to lose can be treated in two ways. One is that you have nothing. You are nothing. You are empty and you realize this truth. But the other concept is that you have everything, you are connected to the universe by virtue of your existence, and no creature can take that from you.
He's got a good point, though, just that nothing to lose Kung Fu is not taught in schools, really, at all.
But if no creature can take it from you, you know, how can you be sure? I think, you know, even just... maybe the concept of knowing, hypothetically, there might be another creature that might be able to take it from you. Mm. You're still chained to something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Janis Joplin did say freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. And I think that was maybe like a very negative way of saying freedom is just something you can achieve when you have nothing left.
Well, my belief is there are two ways to approach this freedom. One is by having nothing left, mm-hmm. but the other is by being comfortable.
Already having everything.
Precisely. Like this connection to the universe that mm-hmm. you can achieve through deep meditation, you know, the consumption of certain tea leaves and teas, the application of certain salves and balms, and the arrangements of certain candles.
Right.
That this is really freedom by virtue of the same proposition that was given with a very different reality.
There is something to be said about how things come around to a circle. Like, sometimes you see people with nothing and they just kind of walk like kings, you know? And it almost seems like you push them a little bit more and they're at the top, you know, somehow just go backwards in the circle.
And a man earlier who bitterly recounted his understanding of freedom, which he achieved in prison, ironically, right. This may be really the moment that he has the opportunity to really have freedom.
And, you know, maybe coming out of prison for someone who was king in prison deprives him.
Maybe that's not freedom.
Right, of everything he once had. Now he's chained once again to something.
So now freedom in several dimensions corresponding also to being imprisoned in different dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
So being imprisoned in his movement, he became a free mind.
Yeah.
Well, that's something we haven't really talked about yet. Maybe freedom is not as any of us understand it. Maybe there's a conservation principle working out. Being free in one dimension necessarily takes away your freedom in other places.
We've definitely all come to terms with the fact that we'll never be quote-unquote free enough to fly at will or go through matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this is a freedom we often don't argue about. We've just kind of accepted.
Punch a pterodactyl.
Yeah, and perhaps, you know, if you were a flying beast, that you would lose some other freedom. As Sayyidina Bean mentions, that we are always free to choose the nature of our freedom. Mm. From a great tableau of many dishes.
I think maybe to connect this to what we were talking about earlier, freedom from harm, freedom is also about safety, right? And sometimes if you're, say, a small bird flying out in the open, even though you can fly, you're vulnerable to eagles. And
right.
Well, and pterodactyls, too.
The great danger also is to be unable to be free from fear. So once harmed, you know that you are forever imprisoned by the fear of future harm.
Or free from over-concern about freedom.
Mm.
Let's just see who's calling here. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Marhaban.
I have this observation. I've been a listener for quite some time, and on the topic of freedom, I noticed that the caller who called up and mentioned a farm animal got hung up on, and that brings me around to hang up.
Through the study of yoga, as you go through the process, you learn all of these movements, and eventually they become second nature to you. And once you go beyond thinking about what you're doing, you have freedom from your physical movements.
Sure, yeah.
And you move into freedom of the mind.
Yeah.
And freedom from breathing or eating.
Urinating.
That's a very high-level skill. I think only the great masters have achieved that.
Mm-hmm. We will all achieve this freedom at some point. This is a lesson of the desert.
But in the meantime, you know, we can use tools like our telephone to exert our will.
Yeah, by calling into this program.
And putting the telephone down when we choose to. You know, that's a big freedom we should really take all our freedoms and appreciate them one by one, because there's
Wolf's Law. Where if the freedom is not exercised, it will deteriorate and
exactly.
diminish and disappear.
People will
use
not think we'll
it.
Need it. Right.
Well, maybe freedom is something you do together. you know, something where you just, you need each other. We're just about out of time, so I think maybe we could just close with a quick ohm. We have seven nodal points here. Let's just give it a try. Everybody ready? Get your microphones turned up. Namaste.
For safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.